Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Godzilla versus King Ghidorah.
Yeah, 1991.
Yeah, I think this movie is the reason why I call him King Ghidorah as opposed to King Ghidra. Because I think I've seen more than the old ones.
Uh-huh.
This movie actually follows Biollante, which was the last Godzilla movie we did.
Right, and now, was this a co-production? Because there's a TriStar logo at the beginning. Was that just that they distributed it domestically?
I think TriStar had a thing in the 90s where they were
the official.
Yeah. So with Biollante was Miramax and Godzilla 1985 was who you had to hunt it down through weird ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whole stretch of from 90s until probably even Shin, it's all Sony, TriStar, Columbia TriStar.
Okay.
I think this is the first one. I super excited about this movie and I was afraid to watch it again because, watching this after, doing the podcast, watching these movies in a more critical eye, I was afraid that it wasn't going to hold up. And I kind of felt that way while watching it until I got to the last half.
Yeah, I know you were real excited about it. And you kept talking up because it has the Mecha King Ghidorah on it.
Mm-hmm. Which I, while watching it, last week you'd mentioned, or last episode you'd mentioned that maybe visiting a top five monsters.
Design. Yeah, oh, yeah.
This, Mecha King Ghidorah for me is, the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it is interesting. I if we did do a top five, I feel like the mechas would be really, every mecha and mechana, it's got to be high on the list because it gives you kind of the best of both.
Yeah.
You get the lizard and robot.
Yeah.
Or gorilla and robot.
Because if you stick Ghidorah next to Mecha King Ghidorah, you'd be which one's cooler? And it's
right, the shiny one.
Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah, and the mecha head is in the close ups. It's nice.
And this is the first time. Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it. We start in the future, 2204 AD, but don't worry, we'll flash back to
that thing you don't
what
like.
Is present day of
1991.
92. Yeah, they always try and
give it a little buffer.
Yeah, just for it to come out and all that business. But you see the corpse of King Ghidorah under the water, and you even get kind of look in his neck hole where his head got cut off. Uh-huh. And they're just kind of chit-chatting about King Ghidorah, where the guy says, you mean King Ghidorah fuck Godzilla? that's a surprise.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, as soon as the monsters see each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that it happens.
That's even
all the
one
time.
Of the plans. That's one of the plans in the movie is we'll recreate Godzilla because we know he'll automatically fight King Ghidorah.
Right. And we don't know this yet, but we're supposed to assume that these are the people who went back to the future to put together Mecha King Ghidorah, right?
Yeah, right.
And so they're like, wait, you mean this happened? I mean, hold on.
Yeah.
In theory, if you who we're going to figure out you are, you should know this already.
Yeah.
We have the return of Mickey.
Yep. Mickey's back.
There's also other actors that are in this that have done other movies. There's a guy from Biollante's in it and stuff, but they play different people. But Mickey gets to play, only plays Mickey.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of casting, there's another guy named Chuck Wilson.
Is he the bad guy, Wilson?
Who plays Chuck Wilson.
Yeah.
And I had to look him up because there's a moment in the close-up of his where I see that he has... I was like, who's this guy? Because why is he Chuck Wilson playing Chuck Wilson? I felt like maybe he was some local celebrity or something like that. And then there's a moment where you see in his face, you kind of see he's got cauliflower ear.
Oh.
So I go, okay, so he must be an athlete. And I went down a little Googling session that led me to did you say you have that book that's like something like Japan's favorite Monstar?
Yeah, yeah, I have that book.
Yeah, apparently there's like, because there's like a, in like Google Books, or there's a scan of that, and he was a judo guy.
Oh.
He did have some notoriety when he got that part.
Oh, okay.
He's a, I don't know if you'd call him a judo star, but he was, you know, in the world of judo.
He was known. Okay, so this came out after 1985 and Biollante. And
yeah.
I like it way more than those movies.
Yes.
But it's got this crazy 1960s vibe to it, even though it looks like the 90s. But like the sound effects and the storyline with the aliens and the UFO and the sort of campy sense of humor and stuff.
Yeah.
And even Akira Okafube's score. It feels so much more like a 60s movie than it does like a one from like the 90s.
You know, what wasn't very 60s movie like is all the beefcake shots of the guy with his shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's getting spied on through his window.
Okay, that guy, Terizawa's name. He's the writer, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I hope I'm not stepping on your toes, but
my toes.
Does he Big Brother cockblock himself?
I think he
because.
Like, he might even, like, big grandfather or something.
Yeah, what,
that got really weird that when that part happened.
That was out of nowhere.
And yeah, I was like, whoa, and whoa, then whoa. So, like, oh, now it's really a weird and awkward.
Yeah.
No, but because he has a woman in... when it's actually present day, we're referring to 1992. Yeah. He has that woman present day, the one who leaves that message on his machine that's like, hey, maybe eventually you'll get your book published and then you can marry me. if you do that.
Yeah.
They create a Godzilla origin story for this movie. It's basically his theory as to how Godzilla was born out of the, H-bomb testing and on Lagos.
Mm-hmm. Did you see how it was spelled in English?
How Lagos was?
Yeah. It was spelled with an R. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It was in the map?
Yeah, on the map, wait, yeah.
You're saying it was spelled Ragos?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
But that better be in the
the pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
So
the UFO shows up.
I'm actually going to scrub and find it.
This UFO shows up, and then they were trying to, you know, figure out what was going on with the UFO. And it says, we haven't identified the UFO yet, which makes sense because the U
in UFO is unidentified. Right. Yeah, and the same when they go, we figured it out, it's a UFO. UFO.
Have you identified it yet? No. I thought the UFO in the fog looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the model shots of spaceships and stuff, they're just superimposed, but it had kind of a cool atmosphere to it.
I liked how Shindo was like this crazy guy in the mall.
was it a mall? They called it Dinosaur Land, right?
Oh, right. It's
Dinosaur Land. It was like a...
But it looked like, yeah, it looked like he was in like a shopping center where he's like sitting there. It's like one of those, like, you know, it's like the people who preach.
Yeah. Yeah, it is bullhorn. I want to talk about M11.
Okay.
But more particularly or specifically.
Well, okay. Clearly, and then like you go, this makes you go like, wait a minute. Of course, in 1991, Terminator 2 came out.
Yeah.
So there was definitely a lot of that. But go on, specifically. I have my specifically. You go first.
We could probably say it together. Him running.
Okay, yeah, that's great. No, totally. No, that's fine. That wasn't mine.
Oh.
Mine was if you're going to invent a robot that is basically the Bionic Man,
yeah,
would you give him thinning hair?
I was going to say the same thing too. His receding hairline. He just kind of looked like a guy.
He also has like a spot in the back.
I wonder. They wanted to make those guys American, like specifically because they turn up and or they end up being bad guys.
Yeah.
And the Americans are definitely bad guys in this movie.
Yeah.
They go back in time to World War II, where we see we go to what was it, Lagos Island?
Yeah.
And we get to meet some of the Americans who spot the UFO of our time travelers going back in time. And there's the joke where they can't believe their eyes and they don't really want to report that they saw a UFO. So the general tells the major that it's a story that he could tell his son.
Yeah.
And his Major Spielberg. Major Spielberg.
Yeah.
And what's funny, I assumed it was a Jurassic Park thing because of the dinosaur, but it's not, because this came out
two years
before Jurassic Park, so it was more of a UFO, like, Close Encounters joke.
Yeah, Close Encounters, yeah.
You want to talk about the Dorats?
Sure.
Those...
They can help us if we get lost, because they can always cheer us up.
Sure.
That's the futurist joke.
Did you know right away that they're going to become King Ghidorah?
When they let him out?
Yeah.
I mean...
when you saw him.
They definitely give off the...
The wings.
The fact that they have no arms and only wings.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
It's an interesting... I kind of like that origin story. Because I think with King Ghidorah and the other ones, you don't really get an origin. I think he's just a monster from space.
So right.
I like this idea that it was these three future creatures that were on the island where Godzilla was supposed to get.
Well, my hang-up about it is why that lady released them, and then she got all upset that that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That didn't make sense to me because she had the biggest problem with their plan.
Yeah.
Unless releasing those wasn't part of the... Like, she didn't know why she was releasing them, but she knew she had to. That was kind of unclear.
But there's... well, first of all, one of the things that also happens in this movie a lot is there's a lot of stating the obvious.
Yeah.
People kind of like, it's always like something along the lines like, you know, oh, you mean they came here from the future to tell us something? Oh, you mean people from the future brought back this book? Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. So in the flashback, and there's like the Japanese are in the caves and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a moment when like guy comes into the cave and he reports to. Like a communications, he was a guy who was at the microphone, and guy calls Commander, and then Shindo just kind of rises up like he was hiding under the table or something.
I did not notice that.
He's got a lot of like kind of rousing speeches. It's kind of like the 300.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, they know they're in trouble, they're outnumbered, and, but you know, they're going to give it all they got.
Yeah.
I was kind of weird. I couldn't quite figure out also, is the helmet required for the... Well, no, I guess it's got the camera on it. Like the fact M11 had to put a helmet on before he went to do something, and I was like, oh, is it too dangerous? Another thing with M11. The scene... Okay. First, we get to see him run around... in like the jungle area,
which is hilarious to look at,
and it's great because depending on like there's parts where they just move really fast, and there's parts where it's like he's just kind of gliding.
He's on a conveyor belt and he's just moving his arms.
Yeah, and so it definitely was kind of reminiscent of Steve Austin, I thought, in the way they would do his bits. But then when he's chasing them in the car, and they have the version that's like him on the camera rig itself, it seems like, and he kind of like wobbles around. Yeah. It's almost like when they shoot people like tripping in movies where they're like, oh, this is like the effect of the drugs kind of thing. That's all.
But yeah, why would they build?
I lost my point.
But why would they? Yeah, why would he need?
I got it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
And then when he's about to crash into the thing, he screams. There's a moment where when it, like his car is gonna crash, he goes ah, and it's like, why were what? In what world does a robot do that?
The dinosaur attack.
Against the Americans? Yeah.
Yeah. The dinosaur, I thought, looked cool walking through the trees and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the trees looked, either it was the way it was shot or something, but the trees looked pretty realistic.
And it looked great.
Like, kind of like a big dinosaur.
He basically, yeah, but he, because he doesn't have atomic breath or anything,
yeah.
He just has to defeat the, he also can't bite them. But that's clearly just probably a limitation of what they add suit wise. It's kind of like the, you know, there's Godzilla can only crush people, and he basically what he does mostly is knock the trees over onto people.
Yeah, he steps on a couple guys.
Yeah,
and swipes his tail at some guys.
He gets shot in the mouth.
Yeah,
but anyway, which is great because like and like there's a blood spat. Then they cut to this. The shot where like his leg is like in the foreground and there's like little bits like kind of hanging off of it.
Yeah.
And then they, it's probably like this, either the same footage again or the same footage from a different camera. Cause then he gets shot in the mouth a second time.
Right in the same spot.
But I kind of like that happened in a sense where it's kind of like when a boxer gets a cut open and you keep working that cut.
Yeah.
So I get him there because that's the part that's going to hurt.
And he says, take that, you dinosaur.
Yeah, that's your favorite line in this movie.
Yeah.
As soon as it happened, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. I remember Ralph talking about that bit. he squashes everybody. And then he gets this tearful salute from Shindo for saving their lives.
Yeah, this is where they get to know each other. Which comes back later, the next time they meet face to face.
There's a line, come on now, history has no room for sentimentality.
So they're able to transport the Godzilla dinosaur into the middle of the ocean. Is that where they put him?
Yes.
And then when they go back to their 1992, you find out that King Ghidorah is wreaking havoc on the city.
Well, all right, but first, it's as if Godzilla never existed.
Yeah.
However, everyone remembers Godzilla having existed.
Yeah.
That anyone can talk about it. Oh, it's like we don't have Godzilla anymore.
All of that was confusing.
Really? Well, listen, there's... Well, yeah.
There's very, stuff that gets really confusing.
Well, there's also... Because they have the nerve to come up with the conceit that, listen, Shindo can't go because two Shindos can't exist in the same time.
Yeah.
However, King Ghidorah at the bottom of the ocean and Mecha King Ghidorah on the surface of the ocean is two King Ghidorahs existing at the same time.
Okay. King Ghidorah, right? No, King Ghidorah on the bottom of the ocean is from post-fight.
No.
With regular King Ghidorah and Godzilla.
No, because Godzilla fought King Ghidorah, chopped his head off, and he was at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
And then they went and dug that King Ghidorah up.
Made Mecha King
Ghidorah. Turned him into Mecha King Ghidorah and brought him back to the time period when he's supposed to be at the bottom of the ocean with his head chopped off.
That's right.
So that's two of them. And then the other, I didn't come up with this all by myself. This is one of the things in one of like Gojipedia or something, but they talk, this is one of the issues with this, with the logic of that part of the movie. But then the other thing is then in the future, if they really went back and brought Mecha King Ghidorah, the bottom of the ocean should have two King Ghidorahs. A Mecha one should be there too, because that's where he ended up.
Yeah. I don't think the time travel is very sound in this movie.
It's not. But it's, yeah. If you can't pull holes in it, it's part of what makes it fun.
Yeah. When Ghidorah starts taking out the city, it was nice to see that he was taking out some models, because it seems like 1985 in Biollante, there was a lot of that.
Oh.
Godzilla standing behind.
No, the building model stuff was awesome. I loved it. Yeah, yeah. And they're chunky. They're like, they had a lot of like, they seem like really heavy bits in them. I also like, okay, so the whole reason for this plan of the future people coming is that Japan became the most powerful nation economically. It was the richest nation in the 21st century, so rich that it started buying up other nations. And she mentioned South America, Africa. And I was like, cringe, whoa, easy. I like the warning where they say, do not drive in your vehicles when King Ghidorah is in your area.
Yeah.
Sometimes it sounds like the people doing the English looping would say Godzilla. Oh. Okay, my favorite sign in English in this movie is on the door when the guy is leaving the room after they figure out a plan of them taking him to the future. I think it's around then. It's because this building they're in is some kind of, I think they called it like super scientific something. What? You're talking about?
Yeah.
And so the sign on the door, I was like, what does that door say? And I had to back it up to play. It says super scientific playroom. I think maybe they meant something along the lines of like screening room or something, because that's where like they have like the TVs and the monitors and stuff. But super scientific playroom just became this thing that I was kind of like enjoying the thought of it. And it's like, is it a super scientific playroom, or is it super scientific playroom?
I'm trying to think what they meant to say.
Like, what they meant? I don't think play like that. I think it's like play like screening movies and like to play like things like that. I think that's what they meant. Because there's a quick shot early on where it's like the building that they're in is some super scientific association and organization thing.
Yeah, the war room.
Yeah,
with the submarine prop in the back.
Yeah.
Do you think that was just the same prop that they used for the actual submarine?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Because I saw it back there, and I'm like, oh, that's weird that they have a model submarine back there. And I'm like, oh, I'm wondering if they just grabbed that from the special effects guys.
That's a brand.
It's the same submarine, but it makes sense, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, there was like another scene going on in one room, and if you kind of would like, you kind of look through the back door and look at the like background. There's like
dinosaur models.
Yeah.
I was, because they were like silhouetted against the windows. I'm like, oh, look at those dinosaur models. Those are cool. And then the guy had a handheld submarine model that he was holding.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I bet you that's for like.
This is the one to show
close-ups or for farther away.
Yeah, he's like, he was like, this is like, they have the model to show, but when they're actually going to like show what the submarine's going to do in the meeting, he's got the little one to be like, it's going to go like, do, 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 you know.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. Dogfight. That's where I'm at. I love dogfights. Like, that's one of the things I liked in Rodan, was when jets are fighting against flying kaiju.
Fantastic.
Love it. This one mixed up real footage of jets with model jets.
Right.
Model jets are awesome. With them flying alongside King Ghidorah. The dialogue was really strange. There's one part where the guy says, "I'm spinning." And it's not like he got hit and he's spinning out of control.
Right.
He was just flying and decided to do some barrel rolls. It was strange. But I need more of that.
Definitely kind of like a, kind of stock footagey quality. It's just like, okay, what can we use? But and those, unlike like when the models, like in a Rodan, when like those planes would get hit, it would be like kind of like a spark on the model of itself.
Yeah.
But these planes, they just completely would explode.
Yeah. I need more. I need more dogfights with flying kaiju. I'm hoping. I think in the next Godzilla movie, it's like what is it? King of the Monsters. I think Rodan or King Ghidorah is supposed to be in it. And I'd like to see some dogfights.
Human planes going after monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's flying great monsters. When they're in the air, too. Yeah, because they shoot planes at Shin, too. Yeah, but it's up being up there with it.
Yeah. There was one episode we watched, or one movie we watched, that opens up with some planes tracking something big in the clouds, and then it turns out it was Mothra. And I was like, I want to see stuff like that.
So the plan to deal with the first idea to do how to deal with it's
confusing.
It's a huge complicated scenario. It's like, okay, to deal with King Ghidorah, they decide, well, why don't we make Godzilla?
Yeah. They're going to take the nuclear sub and send it into the dinosaur at the bottom of the ocean and create Godzilla.
Right.
But as it turns out, according to Mickey, Godzilla's been there the whole time.
Right.
So it was already irradiated enough to turn him into Godzilla.
But they still... Oh, no. Do they still shoot him?
No, because by the time the sub gets there, he's Godzilla.
Okay. So...
It's like Godzilla finds a way. Like it's gonna.
Right. But there's, okay. So I know, but so they were explaining how this Godzilla is bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
Because it was unavoidable because there's nuclear power everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's also because it was more modern nuclear radiation that made it happen.
Yes.
Again, here's where it's like, what made Godzilla happen originally was the bombs, the testing of the bombs.
Yeah.
So this was just kind of like, because it was a slower build, he was able to kind of develop flavor better.
I guess.
Like a bread that you retard the rise on it so that it develops more flavor so it doesn't get too big too soon. I'm guessing. It's like, because I was like, it wasn't that he was hit with newer bombs.
Yeah.
It was just general radiation happening, just seeping in slowly. So yeah, it was like, it's like kind of slowly growing Godzilla, I guess.
Yeah. And then and it decided to wake up.
The biggest one ever, yeah. And he's just kind of walking upright underwater.
Yeah.
Just marching.
This has one of my favorite shots in a Godzilla movie ever. It's when King Ghidorah is coming into the city and flying around. And there's that reveal of Godzilla behind the buildings. Mm-hmm. There's like these huge model buildings. And it looks like a helicopter shot, but it's just the camera in the studio. But it's that shot where it comes around the buildings and you catch a glimpse of Godzilla in the smoke. And then it keeps on going around the other side of the buildings. I think that I really like that shot because a lot of these shots, they just like look like two guys on a set, you know, bashing buildings and stuff.
Right.
When they put the camera low within the models, so it's more of a real human perspective. Like, I like that. And that helicopter, that shot looked like a helicopter shot, the way it moved around the buildings. And this fight, I really like this version of King Ghidorah. The necks don't flop around as much as they do in like the 70s. They seem like they're in a little bit more control. And that's probably something that they got from, you know, were able to advance from Biollante, because Biollante had something like, I don't know, like 52 so wires many. Connected. Yeah. So to be able to just control the three heads was probably easier, and it moved a lot better.
I feel like they didn't, like, King Ghidorah's never fully really kind of used the potential of the fact that he's got two tails.
Godzilla grabbed both of them, though.
Yeah, just that's it. The only benefit of two tails, it's more cushion for Godzilla to grab onto when he's slamming him into the ground.
I like that they didn't give King Ghidorah hair, even though the Dorats had hair. That's one of the things I always thought was weird, like in the 70s when Ghidorah has like this kind of afro wigs and stuff and looks kind of silly.
It's goofy, but the King Ghidorah wrapping his neck around
Godzilla's neck. Yeah. That's good stuff. And then he starts foaming at the mouth.
He starts suds. Yeah. It's like soap suds coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. And then Godzilla does that thing. I think we saw it in Biollante where he kind of shoots the rays out from all over his body, which then cuts off, the middle head, which is awesome.
Yeah. And Godzilla's he's a very smart adversary in that. Like he's like, I'm going to burn holes in his wings so he can't fly away. Yeah. He was really smart. When the trucks pulled up, I got really excited. I was like, oh, Mazers. But then they called them lasers.
That, I want to say, had to have been a translation thing.
Okay.
Because I'm like, someone.
Because they're clearly the Mazer trucks. They look like the Mazer trucks.
Yeah.
They call them laser cannons.
They said lasers, and I'm like, nope, you guys got it wrong. I know they're
lasers. Yeah, I had a moment. And I was also going when the tower fell. I was like, oh, Tokyo Tower. I'm like, wait a minute. We're not in Tokyo. And apparently Sapporo also has a tower.
Oh, okay. And it was 7 o'clock.
It's a big red tower. It was. It sure was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had pretty good building destruction.
The UFO? That part I really liked. So the bad guys.
Oh, when they're inside?
Yeah, and then they
lower the panel.
But Emmy teleports the UFO to where Godzilla is.
Yeah.
And those guys are like, "Where are we?" And they open up the window, and like Godzilla's just staring at them.
Yeah. And then blast. Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. Did you have to look up who Peter Arnett was?
I did.
So did I. I'm like, who's Peter Arnett?
Yeah. Those guys just kind of come in a bit. It was like the reporter. Yeah, so the guy says, "Hey, I'm the Peter Arnett of Japan. How do you think I got called that?" Yeah. And the other thing is Peter Arnett was he was a big war reporter. Like he was always kind of like embedded in like war zones and stuff. So I can see how he like close to the action. I can see how that's what the connection they're doing. I like the moment when those guys are in the building and Godzilla's like kind of pushed back into a building and his like his fins. Back fins are kind of going through and they got to run out of the way. Around this time is when they decide they come up with a plan to transport King Ghidorah to the future and then bring him back. Like they're like, can you take him and fix him up? And they're like saying the guy's plan is like, yeah, he should be well preserved because seawater is cold.
Yeah.
I don't buy that.
But whatever it gets to make, Mecha King Ghidorah. Shindo comes face to face with Godzilla. I mentioned this before. They remember each other.
It's like Godzilla's not too happy with it. And they even have like the flashback moment in it. Yeah, there's a moment where you're like, it feels like it's going to be like one of those YouTube videos where some guy who used to take care of lions gets reunited with the lions, and then the lions come running at him, and then, they're just playing.
It was such a buildup, too. Like, you almost were like, maybe Godzilla will just spare him and walk away, but no.
Yeah, well, there's a part... Well, that's the guy in the line where he's like, and he's like, he does his, every time that character had to like laugh to himself, it seemed a little cheesy and forced. He goes, ha ha.
Yeah.
Very ironic, don't you think? He put laughs at the beginning and at the end of that. And then you're like, oh, and then you go, and then Godzilla blinks. At first I was like, oh, it's both eyes, so it's not a wink. And then
Gets blasted hard. So the arrival of Mecha King Ghidorah. Do you I can't even tell you how much I love Mecha King Ghidorah. It's up there with like King Caesar and Jet Jaguar for me. Because King Ghidorah is cool, but when you look at him, you're like, oh, he's like boring now because he doesn't have all that stuff on him. And the fact that they just used that middle head and then they gave him like that chest armor is cool. The sort of like shin armor is kind of weird, but it's like it just looks badass. And then the wings are repaired from when Godzilla shot a hole in them. I thought it was weird that Emmy is just kind of wearing the outfit she was wearing instead of like a flight suit, you know? Because I'm sure it took him years and years to make Mecha King Ghidorah. They didn't just go fix it and came back. You know, it probably took them maybe 5 years to build it and then go back
Good
to the
point.
time they needed to go back. You think she would have like a flight suit or something because she should have trained, but she was just wearing like a sort of a knitted sweater and a it's weird like a 90s shirt.
Yeah, it's like they were like, oh, we gotta, it's just, oh, hey, I'm back in the future. Listen, we gotta whip something up real fast. We need to go find King Dor and just kind of like, let's use what we already have. We already know this stuff that we already have, all this technology, and we'll just kind of make it into a dragon head. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, she should have done
Oh, good. You
like
ready? All right, good. Okay, I gotta go.
she should have been like a badass, like she's been training this whole time. And it was just kind of weird. But man, I'm telling you, Mecha King Ghidorah, yeah, he's gonna be in my top five for sure when we do our favorite
Monster
monster
Designs.
designs, yeah.
But also, his wings, same weakness as far as they're very easy to
Yeah, just pop holes
poke
into.
holes into.
Yeah.
And he has those bracers that he. It's a little. Okay, so he shoots the cuffs out, each arm, each leg, and his,
Giant
like,
one.
yeah, for his middle. And then just kind of pulls him to the ocean. Doesn't really. It's like, who? And also, you're waiting for Godzilla to shoot him with breath.
Yeah. Which they, I think, mention. They say something like, oh, we can't take one more shot from the, I think they call it a laser or the beam. We can't take much more shot. And then he does. Godzilla does shoot fire breath at it. And then they just kind of fall into the ocean. But, like, those claws are kind of cool. It might have been even cool to give him robot arms.
Yeah, I did make a note. Why didn't they give him arms?
Those claws were kind of cool, though. I like that they shot electricity into Godzilla.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would have been. Can you imagine King Ghidorah with arms? This was the one in the video game,
He'd be better.
the Godzilla Melee or something. It was on GameCube where the two heads would grab your opponent by the shoulder, and then the middle head would bite the face. Bah, bah, bah. So that was kind of cool. So they would use the two heads as arms, and then the head as a biting. Yeah, my last note is Big Brother cock blocked himself? Question mark.
I wrote, we're related. Oh man, that makes things real awkward because that earlier moment where they were kind of having this kind of intimate moment
Yeah,
together,
she
and
likes
it's
the
like,
present because of him.
what is? And then it's like, oh, P.S. I'm your great granddaughter or whatever it would
Yeah.
be. It's like,
Yeah,
oh
that's really strange and off-putting.
boy. I always, again, always like when you see old movies do futuristic technology.
Yeah.
And a great one is also when she essentially reprograms M11 with CD-ROMs, basically. And she
Jesus.
pulls him out and puts it in, and she's like, so how are you? And he says, good, my boss. And then when they talk about how they're gonna give the computer to Japan, the two of them kind of have like this knowing nod.
Yeah. What'd you think of the movie?
It was good.
I really like it.
It was
still
good. The you built up Mecha King Ghidorah, and like I'd seen him before. This is the first time I remember seeing him fully in action. And it was definitely like he shows up, and there was like less than 10 minutes left in the movie, and I was going, ah,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and they do that glamour shot where he shows up, and then they show like close-ups of the armor and stuff and the wings.
Close-ups, yeah.
And it's like, oh, here we go.
The head with the green eyes. It's cool looking.
It's like when we watched Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, and we just realized this time around that King Caesar doesn't do anything. He just like rolls into Mechagodzilla and then hides behind a rock the whole time, and it's like, oh, hmm. This is like the only one he's in. And then with the Mecha King Ghidorah, this is the only one Mecha King Ghidorah's in. And so you've seen now all of King Ghidorah's actions, which is a, you know, like a 5-minute fight. So kind of bummed that there wasn't more of him, but man, the design is, I love it.
Now, there are two unmade sequels to King Ghidorah movies that didn't happen. They're both called Return of King Ghidorah. One was supposed to be a sequel to this one.
Okay.
But instead, they decided to make a Mothra movie instead.
Okay.
Because Mothra seemed to be more popular amongst women.
Yeah, those Mothra movies are pretty interesting. We haven't hit any of them yet, but
that trilogy one,
yeah, that's out there. The Rebirth of Mothra trilogy.
Yeah,
there's some, I remember something similar into those movies that are like the Dorat in this movie. In fact, I want to say the Dorats might return in that because I think Ghidorah or a version of Ghidorah might be in one of those movies.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is the other one that I want to say is that there was a sequel also planned for King Ghidorah, which later got replaced by Godzilla versus Gigan. It was also called Return of King Ghidorah, aka King Ghidorah's Great Counterattack.
Oh, that's a good title.
Be a 1972 movie, and instead they kind of changed it up a little bit and made Gigan instead of King Ghidorah. And originally in this plan, it was going to have Mogu and Varan and Rodan. And so they ended up, instead of Rodan, they made an Anguirus, and then they made Gigan instead of King Ghidorah, basically. Huh. The plot was an alien named Miko sends King Ghidorah, Gigan, and Mogu to destroy Tokyo. Oh, King Ghidorah, Gigan, and Mogo to destroy Gorin. Really? But Godzilla and Rodan intercept them until the three go off into space. But they return, and Godzilla, Rodan, and Baron send them out to space. Miko would have been killed in the Godzilla Tower by Godzilla in that episode, in that movie.
Okay.
But it didn't happen.
I still like the movie.
Yeah. Okay. This is like, a good. This is a worthy challenger to kind of look at the top five with.
Yeah, I definitely like the sci-fi stuff. I mean, you have time travel and UFOs and robots.
Yeah.
And a mecha monster you get. I Can like the Godzilla be... suit in this one. This is the style I like.
The 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, around. He's in bright eyes. Well, does it beat King Kong versus Godzilla for you?
For me, it's so hard to say. It's been so long since we watched it. And but, I mean, there's so many questionable things in that movie. Like, since doing this show, like, now remembering the questionable stuff more.
Yeah.
I think, for me, I would say yes.
All right. Where would you put it against Godzilla versus Gigan?
Right, I would put it underneath it. So I'd underneath do that it. As my
so
five.
You would, you'd make it five. Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Top five has been broken. I was kind of hoping to be longer before that happened, but all right. I have my little like cheat sheet right here by my desk. I'm actually crossing it out.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. Oh, King Kong. There are no gorillas on this list anymore.
Oh no.
But it's really only based on the monster.
There's like plot holes and weird stuff that you can pick apart, but I feel like that's every movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, it doesn't make you cringe.
Yeah. And I'm wondering.
That was the only movie that had natives that we have left, right? I mean, there's no natives in Gaigan. No. Just as like island native people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good. So.
All right. So our next episode, that'll be May 21st. And it's going to be from 2010, Gareth Edwards' movie Monsters.
Yeah, we'd mentioned it. Well, actually, you'd mentioned it.
I've seen it. I've seen it a couple times. You said you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. We will watch that. And
cool.
I'm excited to revisit it. It's an interesting movie. It's a different movie. Check it out. Monsters from 2010. And go to kaijupod.com. You could see our updated top five. And there you can see our big monster list, which has every monster movie that is available that we could think of. If you could think of another one, let us know and we'll add it to the list for future episodes.
Yeah, we're always coming across something like I come across a poster or something. I was like, what? Or just some, what is this? And then go
pop it on the list.
Yeah, well, it's like, or my girlfriend, she gave me this guy made these trading cards of all these different kaiju, and that just led me down a thing trying to figure out where some of these guys come from.
Yeah, and then, until next time, I'm going to go sew a flight suit for Emmy.
I'm going to put my helmet on and do a little, is it like a jetpack?
Yeah. I forgot about that. She's gonna go
sneak into that guy's house.
Yeah, my great grandfather.
Mm.
Yeah, it is weird that M11 had a helmet that he can enhance his vision as opposed to just being programmed with enhanced vision.
Right. Because he's not the M12. I was like, why does he have this helmet? But then when he did the little thing, but wasn't when he had the little screen, the little thing came over, the lens came over his eye. I thought also it was transmitting to the spaceship, to the time machine.
Okay.
Like
Aliens, like the movie.
So that they could see what he was seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess. All right. Monsters.